You're listening to ThoughtCast. I'm Jenny Atiyah, and I'm covering the Integrated Media Conference here in Boston. Paul Brannan, the deputy editor of the BBC News Interactive, is one of the panelists here, and I've managed to finagle him into answering a few questions. First of all, to what degree is the BBC integrated?
I think we've still got a long way to go, actually. BBC, in the wider sense, even within news, is still cast in silos, so it's still radio, then it's TV and online. And I think the lines are blurring, and I think we're now starting to engage and change the way we work. But it's work in progress. We've been having a lot of discussions recently about 360-degree commissioning. There's all kinds of buzzwords. But what it really means is radio and TV and online need to talk to each other more and each area tell the other what they're doing. And we need to get a decent bang for our buck and make better use of the kit we've got and the time we've got and the energy we've got rather than each pursuing their own separate end.
You mentioned a few moments ago that the past few years have been rocky for the BBC, going through an adjustment, and, for example, three different reporters writing the same story for three different formats. Is that still going on?
No, that was knocked on the head. We did a thing called multi-platform authoring, and we put three different teams together. There's an analog text team, a digital text team, and the web team. And out of those three teams, we made one team. So it has to be said, there was some resistance. And normally when you talk to staff and they hear that kind of thing is about to happen, their instant thought is, oh my God, they're going to chop lots of jobs out and it's going to be terrible. Actually, what we did by working more efficiently with the money that we saved, we ploughed that back into original journalism. That's one of the cornerstones of our business. It makes us distinctive. A lot of the things that dog us in terms of content are around rights issues, where you can run something on TV, but you don't have the rights issues for the web and so on. If you're creating the content yourself, you can push it anywhere you like on any platform.
That's quite a gargantuan concept and achievement, frankly. In comparison to that, earlier, a few moments ago when you were talking, you mentioned that, quote, it just doesn't feel right, and you were referring to public media here in the U.S. What were you referring to? Can you elaborate on that?
Okay, I meant the structure, the way things are organized, and, you know, I have to caveat that with this idea. I am an innocent abroad. I know almost nothing about public service broadcasting in the United States. So, you know, this is a big chunk of salt I'm delivering this message with. But it feels that there's a lot of disparate operations all beavering away at their own thing. And I just have a sense that they don't actually realize their own strength. And if they worked in different ways and came together and leveraged the enormous kind of power they have and the fantastic brand they have, it could be even better than it already is. I mean, there's huge respect for lots of the public service broadcasting stuff here, but I think there's a lot more to be done. And if you started with the 2008 election, that would be a fantastic way to leverage the power of public service broadcasting here, where from that sort of central core of coverage, you can reach out to all the different areas of the country and get perspectives and insights that other broadcasters would kill to have that kind of that power.
You mentioned earlier that the BBC had been in competition with itself. Do you think that's going on here now with our version of public broadcasting?
I honestly couldn't say. I really don't know enough about the landscape here. But you know, the BBC famously was competing very hard internally, and in some ways that can be quite positive, but it can also be quite destructive. And I think, for the people outside the BBC, for the audience, they see one flag over the building. They don't care whether, you know, this program or that program broke the story. All they care about is the story, and you know, whoever gets it first, it needs to be disseminated as quickly as possible through the organization. So the idea that, you know, somebody in the BBC has a story but doesn't tell anybody else about it till their program comes on several hours later is completely crackpot. And, you know, hopefully we've gone beyond that.
Why do you think the United States is behind you, behind the BBC, in terms of grappling with integrated media, with this necessary change?
I think partly because our funding is, guaranteed and we are well-resourced. And we are one organization. We've got a fantastic history. And I think it's probably a bit more balkanized here There's a lot more geography. It's a bigger country. There's a lot more distance between things. A lot of the benefits we're seeing now in terms of how we're organising ourselves are about pushing teams closer together. So part of the exercise we're going through now with our specialist teams in health, in science, in technology, in education, we're putting those people next to their equivalents in TV and in radio. And just by having them sitting near each other, they talk, they discuss, they share their planning diaries, they help each other out in ways that we never managed before.
Despite the BBC's obvious assets, it too is losing audience. We are not alone in that. Mm-hmm. Why is the BBC losing audience?
I think the audience is splintering, fragmenting, going off in lots of different directions. When I grew up, there were three channels in my household. My kids are growing up in a household with more than 60 channels. And then if you go onto the internet, there are a whole host of web channels starting to spring up. There's lots of different ways you can consume content. So it would be surprising if they weren't migrating into other places to get at the content.
So you don't think the competition is commercial broadcasting, entertainment, video games?
Oh, I think things like video games and the whole host of things competing for people's time, and that's the thing that's finite. How much time is there in a day? And people aren't just going to spend their time watching TV anymore. They've got choice, and the old sort of linear ways of serving content are falling away.
I think I'm going to go ahead and get started, and if there are other people.
Paul, we just got interrupted, but there's one more question I have for you. Do you see the BBC, and particularly its website, as a one-stop shop in a way? You can get the news, you can learn a language, you can talk to people who are like-minded. What do you think about that? Is that your goal?
I think the BBC is such a big organization. It would be very difficult to be a one-stop shop, even big though it is. I think my primary purpose is about news, and I'd like it to be the destination for news. But there's an awful lot of other people creating news, and I think in a way we almost need to be thinking about being a portal at the same time as being a core news provider. You may love the BBC, but you may also want to import elements of other people's coverage. And why wouldn't we let you do that? Maybe we should let you personalise part of our offering. And you could have within our page some importers for other people's content. That would make enormous sense to me. I'm a big fan of the Daily Telegraph's cartoonist, Matt. I'd love to be able to bring that into the BBC's front page. There are political sketch writers I like who operate outside the BBC. I think they're terrific, and it would be wonderful if I could bring that in as well.
Is that at all likely?
I think it's a case of watch this space. There's nothing actually on the books right now, but I think there's a realization that we're not the absolute best at absolutely everything, and people want choice. And if you give them choice, they're more likely to stay with you than if you say, this is a walled garden, if you want that, you've got to go to three other destinations. So it would make enormous sense to me.
On that note, let me thank you, Paul Brannan, for the interview.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.